Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel is written by the Apostle John. In this gospel, he references not himself, but the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, John, the apostle who wrote this gospel, was part of our Lord's inner circle of apostles. And it is believed that all of the apostles died a martyr's death except for John. His life, though, was not without difficulty. As an elderly man, he was exiled to the island of Patmos for faithfully preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. During some of the hard times that he endured, God had revealed to John a glimpse of heaven, a series of signs of Jesus Christ, and John recorded these visions in the book of Revelation. John's writings are very simple in their grammar and vocabulary, and they are, in fact, the easiest to read out of any New Testament author in the original Greek. Yet, despite this, the concepts that he covers are some of the deepest and most profound in the New Testament. So how can his words be so simple, but yet be so insightful? This is, in part, as many have speculated, due to John's age. He is wise with years and has many years of experience serving as a fisher of men. Also, he is, of course, guided by the Holy Spirit to write the words that he records. John's gospel focuses on the same person as the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are all focused on one person, our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus alone could earn our salvation and grant us access to eternal life. No one else could bear the world's sin in his body, shed his innocent blood as the ransom payment for our sin, defeat Satan, and rise gloriously from the dead. And so the prophets of the Old Testament foretold our Lord's coming. The holy evangelists wrote of our Lord's incarnation, life, and works. And the apostles and pastors whom God raised up and who followed all preach Christ and him crucified for the forgiveness of sin. This is all for our comfort. The eternal God has made his dwelling among us. He tabernacles among us. He has called us according to his will to receive him. And he is in charge of all things in this world. John begins his gospel with our Lord's incarnation. He teaches that Jesus is not a creation of God, but instead all creation was made through Jesus. John teaches that this eternal God who made all things has now come into this world in a most marvelous way. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. He made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. For all who believe in him, he gives them the right to become children of God. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. These are truly profound teachings, and they are comforting truths concerning our Savior and what he has done for us and for our salvation. John does not give us the familiar account of our Lord's birth as we heard last night in Luke 2. When the shepherds learn of Jesus' birth by the announcement of the angels, and then they go and worship Jesus, finding him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And John does not also give us the account that we hear in Matthew chapter 2, where the Magi, seeing his star, follow it and come to Bethlehem, where they offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Instead, John speaks of Christ and his divinity. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is God. And John reports to us that this eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that is, more literally from the Greek, tabernacled among us, that God has become man. Our human reason cannot comprehend this most profound reality. How can God take up human flesh and become fully human and yet remain God? How can God the Son become man but not God the Father or God the Holy Spirit? And how can Jesus, who is both God and man, remain God and man to all eternity with his full divinity and full humanity at the same time? All of this is a profound mystery. And so John, in his simplicity, reports to us this amazing mystery. And yet this reality is, as I already stated, beyond our comprehension, and it is for our salvation. And because it's for our salvation, it is truly comforting. God has sent his Son to die for us in our place. You see, we could not render the payment that God required for us to be reconciled to God. We are tainted by sin. God requires that something is perfect to be offered as a sacrifice for our sin. Since we are sinners and since everything in creation is corrupt with sin, there's nothing in this earth that could possibly be offered to meet God's demands for justice. So God sent his only begotten Son to come into this world and pay for our sin by going to the cross. He died there, shedding his innocent blood on our behalf, bearing our sin and the sin of the entire world in his own body. He did what man could not do. He rendered the perfect offering of his life to make amends for our sin. He made the perfect payment required so that we can be reconciled with God our Father. Because Jesus has come to do this, we celebrate Christmas with great joy. We rejoice that God fulfilled his promise at the last to send Jesus our Savior. We rejoice that he humbled himself to become a human. God in the flesh, incarnate deity, true God begotten of the Father from eternity, and true man born of the Virgin Mary, who is our Lord. Through the forgiveness earned by Jesus on the cross, our debt is completely paid, and we have the right to become children of God. This salvation, earned by Jesus alone, is comforting. And knowing that God is our dear Father who receives us into his presence is also comforting. At Christmas, we are filled with holy joy that God sent his Son into human flesh to redeem us from the peril of sin. What joy, what comfort, and what blessing. Yet, this year, for Christmas, many do not find it to be all that happy. Some have lost loved ones. Others are separated from loved ones due to precautions from the pandemic. Many still find themselves stressed out from all the things that typically take place during the holiday season. But while this may not be a happy Christmas for all by human emotion, let it be a comforting Christmas for all. For Christ has come into this fallen world. God took up his residence among us. He did so to bring the cure that ails us all, for all that brings pain and suffering, for all that replaces gladness with sadness. As much as we anxiously wait for a cure for the pandemic, it will not solve all our troubles. For death will still knock at our door. People will remain sinners who will dishonor those in authority, hurt their neighbors, engage in lustful acts, take from their neighbors what do not belong to them, gossip and covet. Yet we still do pray, that these vaccines will work, or that God, through his miraculous hand, will remove this pandemic from the face of the earth. But the true cure and the true hope that we need is already found in the Christ child, in the birth, in whose holy birth we observe. For he has come to take our sin away, and he grants us the gift of everlasting life. In him we are God's children, and God will take care of us and ultimately bring us to live with him eternally in paradise. He will shepherd us through all of life's difficulties, and he will bring us to himself in heaven. For this, we can take comfort in knowing that he is our constant stay and that he is our help in every time of need. God grant that he guides us by his Holy Spirit, that he will take our eyes off of ourselves and fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. God grant that we focus this Christmas season not on the things that would rob us of the human feeling of happiness, but instead that we may focus on Christ alone, who brings a cure for the illness of our sin. And God grant that we dwell not on our sorrows, but on the joy of Christ's birth, the forgiveness that he offers, his resurrection, and the eternal salvation which Jesus has procured for all who call upon him. God grant that we find joy in being children of God, who draws us to our heavenly home and will raise our bodies on the last day to perfection. For Christ our Lord, who came to be sacrificed, lives, and he has risen, and in him we have life, and in him we have peace. Have a blessed Christmas, and may you find joy and peace in believing that Christ is born for you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.